The Chris and Steph Podcast.
Some techie talk.
Yeah.
Why do we need to talk about tech stuff?
Well, I want to talk about smartphones a lot. This is like 'tis the season for smartphones.
Yeah, get a new
one. We know, you know, October is the month that everyone buys a new smartphone.
It's always at end of the year. Oh, well, it's kind of a Christmas present.
Treat yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is the time where a lot of people are buying their brand new smartphones.
Okay.
So I want to talk about how we can extend the length of our battery life, which is a hot topic.
Hot topic indeed.
And something that's quite controversial. A lot of times you see smartphone hacks flying around the internet in a meme, you know, don't go put your phone in a microwave or whatever else.
Putting your phone in a microwave.
That was a thing that went around a while ago
for increasing
battery life or something.
They'd trick people and their phones would blow up. Yes, that was a nasty prank.
But some say you should let your batteries drain to zero before, you know, juicing them up. Some say that you should wait till it gets 50% before you go and plug it in. However, a lot of us put it on the charger overnight.
Mm.
Now, for those of us who are charging overnight, this is actually really crippling our long-term battery life. Because if we put it on every night, that means that our phone is on its charger for 3 to 4 months of the year.
3 to 4 months?
Yeah, well, that's how much we sleep, really.
Oh.
You know, when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
So, as much as all the manufacturers don't want you to know, this is not the best way to, you know, keep the life of your phone up. So what happens that, like, then your phone doesn't realise what empty looks like to it?
Right.
So you should wait till you get to about 35 or 40% battery before you plug it in again.
Mm-hmm.
Would be ideal. And only have it on until it's charged. Then
take it back off. So it's basically, it's encouraging you to partake in the cycle of the battery life, which is fill it up, empty it, fill it up again. And not to keep it at that constant, just topping it up kind of stage.
Exactly. And also when you do charge it, to remove it from its case. Do you want to keep the battery cool? You don't want the battery heating up.
Oh!
That'll help extend your battery life.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And take it out of the case.
And the big one, which I think is probably something that we should all learn from Samsung saga last year of the Note 7, never place your phone under your pillow. It is a fire hazard.
Mm.
And by popping it on a non-flammable surface, you should be able to keep it safe. So don't be plugging it in right next to your head.
And cool as well, because you said overheat. You know what? You're going to keep all the heat in when it's under your pillow.
Exactly.
Like, that's interesting. I leave my phone plugged in, but then I heard the other thing, which was they're designed to sort of drip feed overnight, so your battery sort of just, it maintains a charge, but, you know, it's not as bad for it.
Ooh,
I've heard that.
This is coming from the Sun.
But
reputable
source of information.
Yeah, they're pretty up there.
I tried it over the weekend because I was very curious and I was also sleeping on the couch. I took the phone off charge, left it there, got up the next day, and I reckon it lost about 20% of the power overnight. Now, if that's not a sign that the battery's not a good battery, like it's slowly on its way out, I think that's firstly a bad sign. But then you have to go, all right, so 20%, if I take that into account that, yes, I can make it overnight, or then you have to start calculating to, I think that's too much effort, going, how long will my phone last?
Well, I put my partner's phone on the charge when I get up for work, so I normally just swap the charges
over. Oh, that's handy.
And then an hour and a half later, he's got a fully charged
phone.
He's
done. Well, that's clever.
Yeah, that's one way.
I'll speak to Sarah and see if I can get her to
if she could just get up at 3 a.m. and pop it on the charge, that's not too much to ask, is it?
Uh-huh.
Send a little alarm, say, put it on the charge for me, babe.
Absolutely. Let's see how that convo goes.
When there's another groundbreaking development, you can trust one person to cover it.
You know, I'm a huge fan of science. Speakers. Cane toads in half.
This is Steph's Super Sciencey Segment.
I'm taking it today.
Stolen.
It's mine. British scientists claim to have pinpointed one of the causes of your bad mood, and that could be your smartphone. It's causing you to be angry and moody. You want to know why?
Yeah, sure.
Nearly a third of notifications from your smartphone trigger negative emotions.
Negative emotions.
Making you feel more hostile, upset, nervous, afraid and ashamed than you were before picking up your phone. According to newly released study from Nottingham Trent University. So those notifications are making you like agitated, nervous, upset as soon as you get them.
Yeah, I actually totally get that because I know with before I like organise my phone, you know how when you first get a phone you have to get in and change ringtones and notifications and everything. I had the same tone that was a notification tone as my message tone, and it was just as loud. It was driving me insane because I was like da 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 da. I'd be like, oh, I've got a message. And then I'd be like, it's not a message. It's just, you know, Anne on Buy, Swap, Sell wants to, you know, sell a car or something. I'm like, oh, go away, Anne. Like, you know what I mean?
Anne again. Far out. Well, here's the thing. The main culprits behind the emotions were notifications related to work.
Yep.
To updates for your phone. So, when you get those
notifications. So, to restart your phone? No, bugger off.
And Wi-Fi availability, because some phones will go, oh, there's Wi-Fi available in this area. Do you want to connect? Blah, blah, blah. And they'll pop up all the time. So, those are the main culprits. I get the work thing. That's part of the reason why I went, you know what? Let's turn off the notifications for the email.
Yeah, no work
because
emails.
Because they just keep coming in all afternoon.
The worst is Facebook, which is like tells you when your friends are around you.
Oh, yes.
So, like...
Such and such is nearby.
Yeah, I could have, like, yes. Chris Baskerville's nearby, and I'm like, oh, I've already spent all morning with him. I know he's nearby.
I don't need to run into him again. I've had enough all morning. What I find interesting is, so they had 50 participants in this study. It ran over 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess at how many notifications they received collectively, 50 people, over that 5 week period. Take just a random
just a guess. I would say that most people would receive 50 notifications a day. How many people? 50 people, whatever.
50 people, 5 weeks.
70,000 notifications.
They received 500,000 notifications over that span of time. That's a lot of notifications.
No wonder they're so annoying.
Yes.
And if you know you haven't changed your phone settings, go and make it just a little for your notifications. You don't need a sound for them.
Just something subtle. Just so you're not too, you know, doesn't put you too much on edge.
Turn off notifications.
Absolutely. Nice. But then don't you get that thing where you start having that phantom vibration in your pocket and you're like, wait, did my phone go off?
Is that that?
Or is my thigh just vibrating for no reason whatsoever?
Or the anxiety of, like, every time I open my mum's phone and she's got, like, 62 unopened messages sitting there and, like, 170 emails. And I open it, I look at it, and it gives me heart attack. Like, I, like... not to have a number on anything on my phone. I don't need like a 3 above my Facebook. I'm like, oh, what's going on?
It's got to be clear. We've got to have it down to 0. Yeah. You can't have them
that's
all sitting
there. That's a whole new wave of anxiety.
Complaints hotline.
Hello?
Thank you for your call. Your call is important to us. We will get to you shortly.
A chance for you to ring 13 12 16 now and complain about anything you feel like, really. Steph, do you have something to complain about?
Oh, do I ever,
do
actually?
You?
Good. This is something that has been really grinding my goat the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And I want to send a message out there to particularly a lot of restaurants in town.
Restaurants and
a few other places, a few small businesses in town. And look, I'm a big fan of the small business and I want to support you 100%. I want to shop local and all these things that we want to do that are nice.
Yep.
But we've spoken about this quite a bit on the air. From September 1 this year, you are no longer allowed to charge excessive credit card fees. You can't charge people for using their credit cards on FPOS machines. It is not acceptable. There is a charge that you're able to do. You know that this is juicy because it's been really upsetting me the last couple of weeks. Yeah,
and it happened to me over the weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, hang on a sec, guys. You're not allowed to do this. I don't think that's right.
So what a business can now do is they can charge you the cost that it costs them. So they can say that, look, if an American Express card, they're known for their higher fees, it costs a business more to use those.
Yep.
You know, they charge, you know, if it's 1.5%, they can charge you that 1.5%, but they can't charge you 1.5% on your MasterCard because that isn't the same fee. So if they have a blanket fee, it must be a percentage and it must be whatever the lowest percentage that they pay for one of their cards is. So that's unlikely to be more than about 30 or 40 cents on sort of anything that you're paying, you know, under $30 or $40 for.
Gotcha.
So it is a very small number. You cannot charge $2.50 every time I want to use my FPOS card or my credit card at your small business. And you know what? It is against the law and the ACCC will get you. And what gets me, and I know that there'll be people listening being like, I have sassed them in the last couple of weeks.
Lay down the law.
I've been telling people when I've been, you know, to go and get my takeaway or I've gone to pay for something and they've said, oh, you know, it's a $2.50
surcharge
if you're paying under this amount. And I've said, that's against the law. You can no longer do that. And they just look at me blankly like I'm the worst person. I'm like, but you should know
that, yeah, okay.
It's no longer allowed. And if the ACCC finds you, you'll be in trouble.
In trouble.
You can't do it.
Lay down the law. Well, there you go. Don't you feel better for getting that off your chest?
Yeah, well, I'll feel better when I can go and not have to pay these credit card fees everywhere. I get it, you're charged for the fees. But you know what? You can charge just that amount.
I get what you're saying.
HCCC website if you need to find out more details about it. I'm quite familiar with the whole process now.
Mm-hmm. Well and truly in depth. Tell you what, 13, 12, 16, if you've got something to complain about with as much tenacity as we just heard then, let us know. Is there something? It doesn't have to be major. It can be something minor. But give us a ring right now, 13, 12, 16, and get it off your chest. You're guaranteed to feel better after you say it.
I do actually feel a little bit better now that I've had such a public forum to voice that anxiety.
You look a little red, a little less red in the face now. You look like the colour's coming back to your face.
Coming to you daily at the moment.
I tell you what, 13, 12, 16, phone lines open. Complaints hotline next.
Line.
Hello. Thank you for your call. Your call is important to us. We will get to you shortly.
Forget this is even happening. 13, 12, 16, the complaints hotline. Steph, a moment ago, you were complaining about the additional credit card fees when you go and you have to pay at a business of some description. Yeah. Not saying what business it is.
Apparently all of them, because everywhere I've been the last couple of weeks are still charging excessive credit card fees. You can no longer do that if you want to put a blanket fee on things. Has to be the least amount that you'd be charged per your lowest charge credit card.
That's right.
Which is generally about 1%. So it puts you at charging maybe 20 cents or 10 cents or 60 cents. Not this $2.50 for, you know, charges under $10. You can't do it anymore, folks.
Not allowed.
It's against law. The ACCC will find you. And I will tell you. And when I tell you, don't just roll your eyes at me and be like, yeah, sure.
So obviously it's happened to you a couple of times by the sound of things.
Three times this weekend.
Three times?
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Well, this morning, inviting everyone to also have a complain on 13, 12, 16. Charlie is joining us. Now, Charlie, what do you want to complain about?
Well, I am sick of selling things on Gumtree, Facebook, although the eBay's not so bad, but people not showing up.
Yes.
When they say they're going to show up.
On all the buy, swap, sell groups, a lot of people get pretty furious when people aren't showing up.
It's so frustrating. You, like, put your day out to be available at that time and then not even a friendly little, I'm not coming.
No, just a polite reminder or a polite notice that, hey, I can't do it, I can't get there, or even I'm no longer interested. Because then you can go and contact the next person and go, hey, we can give it to you.
Hey, this person fell through, you know, we'd be interested.
Yeah.
What sort of things you're selling?
What are you selling? You know, we might be in line. I wouldn't mind a fridge or
what do you got?
A desk.
The last thing I sold was a kid's camp chair.
Okay.
No interest in that.
No, we might pass on that. No, nothing else?
Yeah, I wouldn't have shown up either.
Okay. What? You wouldn't have shown up either? That's a bit harsh. Charlie, thank you very much. Good luck with selling stuff online, okay?
Thanks.
That's a good complaint. I do like that. People not turning up, although I am guilty of doing that myself, of not turning up to a place. Yes.
Because you got scared off.
Oh, it looked like
when you've got your six Rottweilers out the front growling and you.
It looked like a drug lab, okay? It looked like a drug lab. And I'm not going in and I'm not having my family go into somewhere that it looked like we could possibly be in danger. And so I'm just like, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away from that one and know that I've lived to fight and buy online another day.
You've got like the black FBI van across the road like watching and you're like, I better not walk up to this store because they don't know what I'm picking up. They don't know that I'm here to just pick up the fridge. And is fridge code for something else? I don't know.
There's a black pizzeria van on one side with a large sort of satellite dish on the roof.
Yeah, that's so the
one. I think, honey, let's just keep driving.
Just keep driving.
We don't honestly need to buy whatever we were buying. So let's just keep on going.
It's a minefield out there, those buy stop sell sites.
I'm not going to say what we were buying because that person will know who it was. keep on going. Another world record attempt has been smashed, this time by St. Bernard Mocky, I want to say, or Mo for short. Just entered the Guinness World Record books for having the world's longest tongue on a dog, measuring 18.6 centimetres.
Oh.
Whoa. Wait.
Gotta drag on the floor if you weren't careful.
Yeah.
Like the cartoons, like when they like, when someone's really good looking and the cartoons, like their tongue like lolls
unfurls
out.
And
rolls and they're like,
la 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 la. I'll save on mopping. It smashes the previous record. Previous record was 11.4 centimetres.
So it nearly doubles it.
Really smashes it. 18.6. The dog,
but you know,
the dog itself has become quite a celebrity in its hometown of South Dakota, don't you know? And it was originally adopted from an animal rescue shelter about 6 years ago, and now has progressed into a world of fame because of this exceptionally long tongue.
I wonder why the previous owners gave it up, like if it was because it was excessively licking or something. Like,
yes.
Like, and they're like, oh, I can't stand this, and now it's become like so famous for it.
Imagine, I mean, you know, occasionally dogs will give you a lick on the face, but you got a
18 centimetres worth of lick.
You get whiplash every time the dog came to give you a lick on the face. You got to be careful.
I think what I find the most curious, and I've once watched in slow-mo, like how a dog drinks water because they actually flick
use
it up
their
with their
tongue. Yes.
Like how would this little puppy drink water? Because its tongue would be so long that it'd be like swirling up in the bottom of the bowl.
They do that thing where you roll your tongue in a circle and use it like a straw. And you just suck it all up that way.
It'd be tricky, though. The little puppy would be trying to get his water.
There you go. But, you know, interesting nevertheless. It's great to have a pet that's more famous than you are, because then you can, you know, live off all of its, like that.
Its royalties.
Like Grumpy Cat. Surely the Grumpy Cat family are living off royalties from that.
Or like the world's ugliest dog from last year, that, like,
yes!
Bald Chinese terrier thingy with, like, only some bits of hair. Like it's, yeah, had a run-in with, like, an electrical cord.
But who owning their pet goes, I reckon our dog could go in the record for it. And who goes to the effort to go, well, let's measure its tongue and see how we go. But there you go. Maybe if your dog at home, you reckon you can beat it, contact the Guinness World Record people. Because 18.6 is huge, but maybe you can go better than that, pet owners.
Maybe.
How long's Graham's tongue or Theodore, Steph?
Pretty standard tongue size, I believe.
Pretty standard, yeah, okay. Yep. World's smallest then. Surely there's a category that we could just crowbar them into.
My dogs will not be winning world's smallest anything, thank you very much.
Oh, okay. All right.
They are just perfect the way they are.
The show is not about size, obviously. Have you had a bad gift? A story coming out of the States. Grandmother has bought her granddaughter a book. And she's just bought it thinking, you know, birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little book, lots of colourful pictures of animals. It's called If Animals Could Talk. Thought, great. Grandma for the win.
Yep, beautiful.
I'll give it to her. So Grandma's passed on the book, and when little Tiffany, that's her name, has opened the book, she's realised that she doesn't actually understand what's going on in the book.
Yep, okay.
And at which point she has, because Tiffany's quite with it, she's on Twitter and she's tweeted out the picture. I think she's six. And her parents have also looked at the picture, and they realise that it's one of these adult books that is designed to look like a kid's book.
Yep.
Like, you know that one of go the dot, dot, dot to sleep? You know
that
one?
Yeah.
That's an adult book, but
like
it's
kind of... Like you give it to new parents who are like, if you need your own story time sort of thing.
Get a laugh out of it. So it's essentially a bunch of animals saying naughty things that animals normally wouldn't have the chance to say.
And yeah, so different sounds from the animals that you might be used to. What does a lion say? Roar!
Yes!
Not what this lion says.
The lion
bit
is
of a potty mouth.
Yeah, bit of a potty mouth, like a sailor. And so, unfortunately, Grandma right off the mark on this gift, and
most definitely.
Parents have now found out about it. 13, 12, 16, have you had a bad gift? If you've got a story, you could win big this morning.
Yeah, we could be sending you along to the rodeo. We've got a family pass. They're valued at about $70. It's happening this weekend.
The East to West Coast Rodeo Championships.
All you have to do is share your bad gifts with us.
They're on at the Orange Showground this October 14th. Is that Saturday? That's Saturday, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yes, it is. There you go. 13, 12, 16, bad gifts. We'll do it next. Chris and Steph to get you up on here. Bad gifts is what we're wanting to know about.
Yeah, after some nana gifted her grandchild with a book of animals and what they eat.
Well, it's what they say.
What they say, sorry.
It was actually an adult book, but it looks like a kid's mm-hmm. book, and as such, confusion when Nan bought it online and then, you know, sent it and it looks like a child's book, but it says very adult things.
Yeah, the polar bear doesn't really... say raw.
Yeah, you don't want to know what the polar bear's saying. Polar bear's saying some very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That could be held against him in a court of law later on.
Oh, he'd be surprised what he's freezing off, yeah.
Yes. 13, 12, 16, bad gifts. We've got Trin joining us this morning. What bad gift did you receive?
Okay, well, my kids filled up a jar with jelly beans, which were not labelled for Christmas, but they were the jelly beans that are those fun ones like... tastes like fart, tastes like dirt, tastes like poo. So I was very excited to get them, put a mouthful in, started chewing, and of course, you know, felt physically ill. But anyway, lovely, lovely gift from my children, and if something's not labelled, I'm not eating it in future.
Yeah, it's probably very a wise idea.
I remember those, and you get like horseradish flavour, and like they're like vegetable flavoured ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exquisite.
Well, so I had whole mix in my mouth at the one time.
Yep. What a salad of your dreams.
What a concoction. You got your poo and your boogers and everything and then one.
That's it.
All right. Well, for your efforts this morning, Trin, we'll give you a family pass to the East to West Coast Rodeo Championships at the Orange Showgrounds this Saturday, 14th of October. That is all yours.
Huge family day out.
Huge family day out. I'd take something to eat as well. Take a handful of your jelly beans as well.
Fair enough. I'd just probably be enjoying a Dagwood dog or whatever that they have down there.
I'm just trying to remember, are they those old school, like, novelty jelly beans that we would have had as a kid?
I think they released them when Harry Potter came out.
Right.
And they were, like, the Harry Potter every flavoured bean.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember that, like, they had an earwax one and Brussels sprouts and, like, asparagus, so on and so forth.
If you're giving me a choice of earwax v Brussels sprouts, I'll take the earwax every time.
Now, one bakery is in a bit of trouble at the moment.
Ooh.
Over in the States. The federal body in charge of the American food safety has warned a Massachusetts bakery to banish one of their ingredients as they are not allowed to specify that it's included in their food or in their granola bars, as the case may be.
Banish it? So they're not allowed to use it at all?
Yeah, so in their ingredients, they do include love. As one of their many listed ingredients.
All right.
They have been asked by the Food Drug Administration, the FDA, to remove the word love from their list of ingredients. They are currently trying to fight this request.
Yeah, okay.
As the FDA say that love isn't actually a tangible substance with a measurable nutritional value.
Can you not hug me so much? There's too many calories in this hug.
That's exactly right. So
back
as
off.
It has no nutritional value or measurable substance, tangible substance, it is not allowed to be included.
But some people could be allergic. So
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, I've grown up as an allergy kid.
Yep.
Yep. Singled out alone, an allergy kid, and I don't really need any of that sort of stuff in my granola.
No hugging, thanks.
I do not need any love in my granola every morning.
I was wondering what the item was that they'd be banning. I'm like, oh, it's MSG or, no, I don't know, something.
Palm oil or something that's controversial.
Love. It's love.
It's love. Probably the most controversial thing of all time.
Obviously, it's just, it's a gimmick, you know. It's made with love and, you know, our hard spent time and blah, 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 blah. But according to the rule
FDA.
Book, can't do it, can't mention you've got
don't
love in there.
Don't want any love in those things. No love in there, thank you very much.
Well, that's great. New advertising campaign. Now, love-free. Which, you know, you like the original, try the love-free version.
70% love-free.
There we go.
That was the Chris and Steph podcast. Thanks for listening, whoever you are.